Hi, welcome to Extra Time. I'm John Raymond, web editor for sport here at the National, and I'm joined by Graham Cagill, our senior sports editor. Thanks for joining me, Graham.
Thanks for having me.
Now we're talking UEFA Champions League, which just got through the first leg of the quarterfinals last night. Graham, let's get right into it. What are your first impressions from these first leg matches?
Well, there's usually a lot of bluster, particularly with the Champions League, about the glory and the glamour and the great matches and the great players. And for once, I think it's really lived up to expectations. Particularly the Tuesday matches were very, very exciting, and both matches are all poised. Mm-hmm. And while the Wednesday matches were a little bit more one-sided in terms of both the home sides, Paris Saint-Germain and Real Madrid winning, they haven't won by significant enough margins to probably be completely out of danger. So I think all four matches are well set up for their second legs next week.
Yeah, it would seem like Borussia Dortmund, they're probably the least likely to mount any kind of comeback. But the other three, I would say, are very open. Is there any, I guess, surprise you might look for? Is Atletico a team that can hold on? They got the away goal. Or, can Chelsea mount a comeback against Paris Saint-Germain?
I think the last two you mentioned are probably the two that have got the most intrigue to them. Like, Atletico are a team I think that everyone all season expects them to fall away. They were a surprise early pace setters in the Premier League up against their much bigger rivals than Real Madrid and Barcelona, and everyone kept expecting him to fall back, and it hasn't happened. And the fact that they went toe-to-toe with Barcelona and are now in a position of... But Barca have got a lot of work to do there, and like as you said, Atletico have got the away goal, so if they can keep Barcelona from outscoring in that game, they're guaranteed a spot in the semi-final, which would be an amazing achievement. So that's well poised. Obviously, it's going to be easier said than done keeping Lionel Messi quiet for 90 minutes. And sometimes it's going to be interesting how they approach that game, because the last thing they want to do is sit back and encourage Barcelona to attack them. So I think they need to do what they did in the first leg and just really play high-intensity football and put the pressure on the Barca midfield. So that should be a very, very exciting second leg. And with Chelsea, Chelsea have obviously got the away goal. So in theory, all they need to do is score twice and win 2-0. But it's going to be very important, sort of getting an early goal. But they're going to be helped by the fact that obviously Paris's big striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic is not going to be available for the match. He's suspended, so that's going to be a big factor for them, I think. So I think both those sides have got genuine hopes of and certainly more in Chelsea's case, of overturning their deficit from the first leg.
Now, looking at the Manchester United Bayern Munich tie, that looked like a game where Manchester United have probably played as well as they have all season. Obviously, they've had a pretty poor Premier League campaign so far. But, on Tuesday night, they looked like Manchester United again for a little while. Is that, though, going into the second leg, in Munich, is that a game or, a match that they can win?
I think, well, obviously, they came very close to actually winning the first leg. So Bayern are an excellent side. They're probably the best side in Europe at the moment, but they are beatable. And United kind of showed that on Tuesday. They defended very, very well when they had to, were patient. They probably could have done better with their ball distribution. They did have it and gave it away too easily sometimes. But they held their shape very well, took their chance when they got it, and in fairness, probably could have scored a couple more. Danny Welbeck wasted a couple of good chances there.
The breakaway.
And had one that was probably harshly disallowed in hindsight. So it kind of shows how funny football can be. Like, Bayern dominated the possession, but apart from a couple of speculative efforts from Arjen Robben and David De Gea, didn't really have loads to do. And so if United can defend with that intensity again in the second leg, then they've got a chance. But the thing is, they have to score at least once during the evening to have a chance of going through. So I think Bayern are rightly firm favourites to go through, but I think this is realistically the best-case scenario for David Moyes in this respect. As you said, it's been a very difficult season for him. And if they'd gone out to Olympiacos, I think it probably would have been curtains for him at the end of the season. But if they can come out of this tie with some dignity, really push probably the best side in Europe to the limit, which they did in the first leg, and really make Bayern work for it, I think they can come out with a little bit of momentum and a bit of belief, then that could stand them in good stead and give Moyes a little bit more time in the role to try and stamp his authority.
Yeah, it is a tall order to ask Manchester United to roll into Munich and overcome what will be the away goal disadvantage that they're looking at. But it is kind of a pleasant surprise that that's turned into an intriguing tie now. Were there any, between the four matches, individual performances that surprised you or stood out to you?
I think I was impressed with how well Real Madrid have responded, because in the last week or so, they've had a bit of a slump in the Premier League. They've gone from being firm favourites, league leaders, to falling back to third place, and it kind of being out of their hands to an extent, whether they can win the title again. Mm-hmm. And they're up against the Borussia Dortmund side, who knocked them out of the Champions League in the semi-final stage 12 months ago. And so there must be a little bit of baggage then. Real are a better side, I think, and obviously Borussia falling a little bit back in that regard, but to still go and win as emphatically as they did was very impressive. And I particularly was impressed by how well Gareth Bale played in the game. So he's really taken to Champions League football. Well, it helps that he's surrounded by very, very good players, but he's still really sort of making an impact on that stage, and his performance has helped give his side a great chance of being back in the semi-finals again.
Now, looking forward, just, you know, given that there are only two more rounds left after this, are there any, you know, the Bayern Munich, they're probably the popular favorite. I think most people would say they're the best team in Europe. But of the next two to three teams, the Reals, the Barcelona's, Atletico, PSG even, of those teams, who do you see maybe either at least getting to the final or maybe winning it?
I think it's going to be an element of luck of the draw, because I stand by the fact that whoever is going to beat Bayern Munich, their best chance, if they're going to be able to do it, mm-hmm. is going to be in the final. You'd rather face them over 90 minutes, 180 minutes in that regard. So I think whoever's got serious victory hopes will be hoping they avoid them in the semi-final draw when it happens at the end of next week. But I do like Real Madrid. I do think they've got a lot of scoring ability between them. And Cristiano Ronaldo is very, very hungry to win the Champions League with Real Madrid. He's won it with Manchester United, and he wants to. Now, Real for being in the semi-final the last few years and gone close. So I do like Real from that kind of aspect. Obviously, it's crazy not to look at Barcelona as well, but they've got. I don't think they're where they've been for the last two or three seasons. I think they are regressing ever so slightly. Seems daft to say that with Messi, Neymar, Iniesta and Xavi still playing pretty good football, but I think there's still work for them to do, and I think they will get past Atletico Madrid,
mm-hmm.
but I think, you know, the fact they're in this position shows they're not quite where they were. So if the draw keeps them apart, my hunch for a final is Bayern Munich, Real Madrid.
Okay. Now, sticking with Champions League, but looking a little farther east, in Asian Champions League this last week, the three local UAE teams each had a different result. There was one draw, one loss, and one win for them. They're all still in pretty good position group-wise. Who do you see as being, though, in the best position?
Well, I think you've got to look at Al Ain and Al Ahly, really, at this end. Well, the top two from each group goes through, and the fact that all three teams, Al Jazeera included, are still all in those spots. So with two games to go, their destiny's in their own hands, really. They're not looking at other results. If they probably a win and a draw would guarantee each of them a spot through in the next round. One more, if they win the next games, they're probably all through regardless. And when you look at the fact, like, you know, yes, UAE teams have struggled recently in the Asian Champions League, and the fact that we're very close to a scenario of having three teams in the last 16 would be a fantastic effort. And I said, you've probably got to look at Al Ahly still. They seem to be doing a very good job of juggling all their sort of their mission to try and win the quadruple almost.
Yeah.
The fact they've got a bit of an advantage in the league probably is helping them a little bit in that regard, but they're doing a very good job of juggling everything and going well. It's a nice little consolation for Al Ahly, and it's helping boost their confidence up. And Jazeera, it's a surprise they lost last night, because they've looked so good in the competition so far, and they fall into second in Group A. But I would still expect Jazeera to get through from how they've played previously, and so it's looking very good for the UAE in that regard.
You'll have to correct me on this one, but no UAE team, Arabian Gulf League team, has gotten past the quarterfinals of Asian Champions League before, right?
I believe that's correct. Yes, there's been a few who've made the last 16, but I don't think anyone's really got to the real sort of nitty-gritty end of the competition.
Well, then, of these three teams still left, Al Ahly, Al Jazeera, Al Ain, do either, you know, any of those three stick out to you as one that could, you know, do something unprecedented for a UAE team in this competition? Al Ain, obviously, they, you know, I've heard this theory before that if a team doesn't have so much on their plate, so to speak, you know, Al Ain, they aren't challenging for the league title at this point. They could really just focus on this competition. Is that an advantage for them, or is a team that's in better form like Al Jazeera, or, you know, at the top of everything right now, Al Ahly, are they in better, you know, better position to go far?
I think it can vary. It is going to come down to the luck of the draw and who you get, because there's a lot of strong sides that will be around in the last 16 when it comes to it. But I'm more from a fan of sort of, if your squad's good enough, you'll find a way to cope with adrenaline. Like back in 1999, it's slightly different competition and the playing standards. But when Manchester United won the treble in England, they were playing virtually three times a week, and Sir Alex Ferguson was picking virtually the same side per game, because you know we didn't have that much strength and depth as you do in the modern game now. And you know, I think quite frankly, if the players might be tired and exhausted, but you know, the desire to win trophies is, you know, it's what gets them going. And if you can't get yourself up for, say, an Asian Champions League semi-final or a quarter-final second leg when you've really got a genuine chance at glory, I don't know what for these players what would. So I don't think tiredness will factor too much for Al Ahly. I think if Al Ahly keep playing as they are, they've got a good shot of sort of going reasonably far in the tournament. I think Al Ahly will help rest them and such, but sometimes if you mess with your team and you rest players, some players play better by actually playing themselves into form. Mm-hmm. And if you're stopping and starting the selection, taking them in for 1 week then taking them out the other, sometimes that can hurt that a little bit. So I don't think there's any right answer to it, really. I think it's whatever works for that team at the time, but I do think the draws, once they are made, will sort of play a big part in it. But obviously all three teams have still got to guarantee their spots before they can start getting too far ahead.
Certainly. Thanks for joining me, Graham. This has been produced by Maryam Al-Nuaimi and the National Multimedia Desk. Thanks for listening.